Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Jesus never promised us a perfect or problem-free life, but he did promise us in the midst of the problems and difficulties that we could have abundant life. Next on Daily in the Word, Dr. Chappell explores how we can discover abundant life in Christ. Stay with us. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of the West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday, and we are currently in a series entitled Abundant Christian Living. We're going to discover afresh and anew how, in difficult times, we can still have the abundant life that Jesus Christ promised us. If you only hear a portion of today's program, or if you'd like to hear recent broadcasts, you can visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the links to listen to programs on your computer. You can also subscribe to the Daily Podcast and, of no charge, bring that program to your iPod or portable music player. All of that is to be found at dailyintheword.org. But right now, we're going to enter this series, Abundant Christian Living. Pastor, why don't you give us a word of introduction?
It seems like every day there's news on the television and radio that brings discouragement to our hearts. And yet God has promised that even in the times of trial and discouragement, we can enjoy abundant living from the heart, abundant living that comes from God's Holy Spirit. Let's turn to James chapter 1 today and learn how to have abundant living in times of trials.
Jesus said, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." How we thank God for the promise of that verse. But Jesus, when he said, "In the world you shall have tribulation," was looking into the future, knowing that all of his followers would suffer, that they would have trials, that they would have difficulties. Certainly everyone would agree that life is full of trials and full of suffering and full of difficulty. Though we do not always look forward to experiencing that, we must all admit that a part of life is trials and a part of life are the difficulties that we experience. And many different folks are struggling today with unemployment and struggling with financial needs. Some are going through trials with their family and with their relationships, and some are going through trials today with their health. And yet trials are a part of the Christian life. Trials and sufferings are a way that God will use to mold us into the person that we need to be. I believe that these trials are from different origins. For example, sometimes a trial is actually self-inflicted. For example, I meet folks all the time and counsel with folks all the time who are going through a great financial difficulty. And when we begin to discuss their financial difficulty, I'll find that they have literally charged on credit cards as much as $10,000 to $20,000 of consumer debt. I do not think that that is something we would classify as a trial of their faith as much as something that was inflicted on themselves. And yet that's a true trial that many people are facing today. Sometimes we hear of those who miss work and skip work and they're not faithful to their job and they lose their job. Again, perhaps we could classify that as a self-inflicted trial. Nevertheless, there are other ways that we face trials. One way would be the chastening hand of the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, "Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." The Bible teaches that there's no way that a child of God can literally and deliberately disobey God without facing His hand in chastening. That does not mean that God hates us, that God wants to punish us. It means that He loves us. And sometimes, out of a heart of love, He will bring a trial or a difficult situation into our lives to remind us that we do need God after all. I have a 2-year-old son named Matthew. Matthew thinks that it's very funny when you call him to run away from you. He likes to be chased a lot. The other day, as a matter of fact, yesterday, Matthew was out by the curb and he was playing in the water there by the curb and he was just having a good old time. I did not like him right by the curb, and so I said, "Matthew, come back up here towards the garage." When I said that, he looked at me and he smiled as big as he could and he ran out into the middle of the street. Boy, I tell you, every parent knows what that feels like. I went and got that little rascal, brought him up into the garage, gave him a little swat on his bottom and said, "No, no, no." You say, "That's mean. Why did you do that to your son?" Because I love him. I don't want him to go a path that will bring destruction to his life. And sometimes trials come into your life because you've been disobedient to God. You've been going your own way. And so he'll bring you back into the place of his perfect will. Then there are those trials that come to the life of an obedient Christian. I mean somebody that is faithful to the Lord, somebody that loves the Lord, and things are right with you and your Savior, and yet all of a sudden you find a trial coming into your life. Sometimes those trials come in order that we might be strengthened. I would think of the life of Job and how that his trial strengthened his faith and how that he did not deny his God in the midst of his trial. And so there are different reasons that trials come our way. And I believe it is wise as Christians to examine and to prayerfully consider, why is it that I'm experiencing this difficulty in my life today? What is the origin of this trial? Is it something that is self-inflicted? Have I been going my own way and disobeying God? Or perhaps has God brought this into my life to strengthen me? Like the weightlifter lifts weights, and as it's very hard and he struggles to lift the weight, and time again, but then as he goes through that exercise, finally the day comes where that weight is not a challenge to him at all. Sometimes God brings trials into your life for that reason, so that you will become stronger, so that you can face greater challenges in the future. Regardless of why the trial is in your life today, the fact remains that the Bible has much to say about trials. And I would bring to your attention three things. First of all, the Bible predicts trials. The Bible says that trials will come. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you." The Bible says that we ought not to be taken by surprise when a trial comes our way. The Jewish believers that Peter wrote to were suffering trials for their faith. They had been faithful to the Lord and they were assembling and reading God's word, and yet they were suffering great persecution. And Peter says, look, you ought not think it strange that you're suffering persecution. That is a part of the Christian life. And so the Bible says we're to expect suffering. Paul wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. He said, "All they that are godly, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Sometimes as a man at work, sometimes as a woman in your community or at work, you'll find that as you endeavor to live for Christ, as you endeavor to live a clean life, as you endeavor to have some moral standards, as you endeavor to be what God wants you to be, there will be those that will ridicule you for that. There will be those that will criticize your Bible standards. And so the Bible says you and I can expect some suffering if indeed we are living for the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember back in 1983, the latter part of the year, there was a man that walked down the aisle of a church up in Santa Clara, California, where I was the associate pastor. I was standing in the middle, and as he came forward, he said, "Look, I've been saved early in life. but I've gotten away from the Lord. And we knelt at the altar and began to pray, and I began to find out some of the needs of his life. Went out to his home that Monday night and talked with him and his wife, Corey. His wife was saved that night. It was a wonderful thing. This man's name is Mark Turner. He now is pastoring a church down in Moreno Valley area. I'll never forget how that Mark got so excited about the Bible, got so excited about living for Christ. His outward appearance soon changed. His attitude soon changed. He was right with God for the first time in a long time, and his life was revolutionized. He was excited to witness for Christ. He was excited just to read the Bible at his lunch break. But I'll not forget, as he came back to my Sunday school class the following Sunday, he had a big black eye right here and a fat lip. And I remember he walked into the class, and we were having just some refreshments there before the class started. And I said, "Mark, what happened to you?" He said, "Well," he said, "when I went back to work and I was offered some of the things by the folks at work, and I refused to partake in those things. And," he said, "when I began to read my Bible at lunchtime, all of a sudden, those guys at work did not like me anymore. They were not happy that my home was getting back together. They were not happy that my wife and I were getting along for the first time in years. They were upset with me that I would not do the things that they were doing. And they took me out back of the company, and they beat him up and left him there for several minutes as he laid unconscious there until he could come back around and get back home." You see, sometimes the world, and you need to realize this, dear friend, they're not going to say, "Oh, good, he got right with God. That's wonderful. He's not going to go get drunk with us tonight." As a matter of fact, they want you to go down that way with them. And the Bible says for someone who will live a godly life in Christ Jesus, that you can expect at times some suffering to come your way. Dr. Lee Robertson, back in Chattanooga, Tennessee, pastoring a great church, had a little girl by the name of Joy. And as you read through his life story, his daughter Joy was taken to heaven just a few days after her birth. And Joy was taken to heaven, and it was a great trial and a great difficulty for Dr. Robertson. He could not understand why that came into his life. But then a few years later, his church was able to establish a camp. You'll never guess what they named the camp. It was called Camp Joy. And now for 44 years, over 3,000 boys and girls from underprivileged homes have come to that camp in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and many thousands of them have accepted Christ as Savior, all because one man went through a trial but refused to let that trial be used for wrong and instead allowed it to be used for something great in his life. My Bible says that you and I should expect trials and that you and I should allow God to use them in our lives for his glory. Notice the Bible predicts trials. Notice secondly, the Bible tells us that there is a purpose for the trials. You see, trials in our lives do many things. Trials, I believe, stir us up to do work for God. Trials get us more excited if we'll use them in the right way to do the work of God. I think of Acts chapter number 7. The Bible says in verse number 60, there was a man by the name of Stephen. Stephen was a godly preacher. Stephen was preaching the word of God. But in Acts chapter 7, you know the story, they took stones. They began to hurl those stones at Stephen. One by one, the stones began to crush against his body. One by one, they crushed against his skull until that early preacher of the gospel of Christ fell to his knees. The Bible says in verse 60, he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, and he said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. Then the Bible says in a few verses later, there was a man by the name of Saul. Saul made havoc of the church. The Bible says that Saul was entering into every house, and he was hailing the men and the women, and then he was committing them to prison. He was going from house to house, finding those Christians, and taking them to prison. But then the Bible says in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, "Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." You see, what took place there in Acts chapter 7 and 8, as Paul was persecuting the church and as that great trial was coming into their lives, he did not realize it, but those Christians were being scattered about the known world, and because of the persecution, the gospel was getting out in a greater way than it would have gotten out without persecution. And so God many times will bring persecution and trials into your life to stir you up so that greater things can happen for God. How many times have I seen a family on the brink of divorce? That man would never have come to church. That man would never have read a Bible. That man would never had time, personal time in prayer. But now on the verge of a trial, he comes to the house of God. He comes to the Word of God and he says, I've got to get some things right. How many times have we seen those with alcohol and drug problems who never before with their money and with all of their clout would they have ever come to God? But now a trial comes to their life and it stirs them up. And you see, many times God uses a trial to stir us up to do greater things for Him. I was one time not long ago with my children a few years ago over at the Los Angeles Zoo. There are a lot of different creatures there, but the one that I really don't like at all to go look at, but my son Larry loves to look at, is the snake. He loves to look at the python snake. I just think a good snake is a dead snake, don't you? I think that's good preaching. And if there's any animal rights people here, I'm sorry. You can have all the snakes you want, and you can just keep them. But as far as I'm concerned, they're just creepy, cruddy things. And I remember looking at that snake. The very first time, there's just a piece of glass about this big between the snake and you. And I remember telling my kids, back up off of that snake. He could just come right through that glass and he could eat all of us alive. Man, Larry looked at me. He said, really, Dad? I said, yeah, he can, Larry. And boy, that big old snake was there. I think it must be 20 feet long. It's about this big around. We were there and all of a sudden they started feeding it. They were feeding it live chickens. That snake looked like it was dead, but when the chicken went into that cage, all of a sudden, just with one gulp, whoop, he ate that chicken up. He ate several chickens. Boy, I remember watching that thing and the fright building up. The man that was feeding the chickens came around, began to talk to the people that were there, and I had my kids back over here in the safety realm. We began to listen. He said, sir, you don't have to worry. He said, let me tell you something about this snake. He said, he would never try to come through that glass. He would never try to hurt anybody. I said, oh, I don't believe that. I said, he looks awfully mean to me. He said, no, you don't understand. He said, I feed this snake. He said, I feed this snake so many of those chickens that all it does is just lay there and get fat and lazy. And that chicken is so, snake is so full of chickens that it doesn't even really desire to come out towards the human beings. And he said, it's just a big, fat, lazy snake. You know, I got to thinking about that. That's the way a lot of us Christians get. Big and fat and lazy, and it takes a trial to stir us up to do more for God. Boy, it's tragic that it has to be that way. But sometimes a trial is what it takes to stir us up to do more for God. The Bible says very vividly in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. And if we deny Him, He also will deny us. Dear friend, if God is trying to stir your life up through your unemployment, through your sickness, through your trial, whatever it may be, don't deny Him at this time. Yield your life to Him and let Him do a wonderful work in your life. Sometimes trials stir us up. And then, of course, trials many times strengthen us. The Bible says in 1 Peter here in chapter 1 and verse number 7, just a few pages over, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that our trial is like the gold that is purified with fire. And our lives, many times during difficult circumstances, are purified by that trial. And God will use that trial to make us stronger for Him. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that He suffered a little while, make you perfect, establish you, and strengthen you. The Bible says, after that the Lord suffered, but also after that we have suffered a little while, that we would be established and strengthened in the Lord. You know, some of the strongest Christians I know have been through great trials. I remember going out on visitation when I was at the church there in Santa Clara. There was a lady that stood about right here in our choir. Her name was Mary. Mary had blonde hair and she always just stood there and always had a smile on her face. She sang every song with a smile on her face. Just a vibrant Christian testimony. And I remember going from house to house on visitation and periodically people would say, who is that lady that sits in the middle of the choir and sings right there? And I'd tell them her name. And they would say, she must have a wonderful life. She must have something that no one else has because she just has a vibrancy about her. Boy, what a wonderful thing, by the way, to have said about you. Did you know that that dear lady, just the year before I got there, her husband left her with 3 children, just left. Her husband never sent her a dime of support. Her children, one of them, had a very severe disease. She lost her job not long after that. I mean, you name it, and it had gone wrong in her life. But somehow, like the fire to the gold, her life was purified. And somehow, after that, she had suffered a while, 1 Peter 5:10. Her life was strengthened and established even more in Christ. And she was stronger and more vibrant for the trial. Oh, you see, God uses them so many times to help us in our lives. We don't like the way it feels. We don't understand why we're unemployed. We don't understand why we're going through financial or marital difficulty. But God will use that to strengthen us in so many occasions. Here was a story that I read not long ago about a stagecoach driver in the state of Montana. The stagecoach driver, back in the days when they would take folks from town to town and village to village, was going through a terrible snowstorm. And as they were going through that snowstorm, there was just one passenger left on the stagecoach, a lady and her little baby. And the true story was that as they were going to that next little town, it was bitterly cold. And the cold, snowy wind was blowing in through the stagecoach. And the story said that the lady had her baby bundled and very warm, but the lady herself was becoming so cold that she was almost unconscious with the cold. She was about ready to pass out and possibly die. The stagecoach driver periodically would look back and he could see her nodding off with the cold, freezing temperature. He did not know what to do. Finally, a thought came to him. He stopped the stagecoach. He got into the stagecoach there and took the lady's baby and took that baby, which was wrapped up in a blanket, and set it under the seat. He then took the lady and pulled her out of the stagecoach and threw her down into the snow, shut the door, got back up, and began very slowly to go off into the distance with that little baby in the stagecoach. Finally, the lady in the snow looked up. She realized what was happening. She got up on her feet. She began to walk and crawl and somehow try to get towards the stagecoach. Finally, she began to trot and run towards the stagecoach. She was crying every step of the way now, crying for her baby. She could not believe that that man would do that to her. And finally, after about a mile of it, the man stopped and he got down. And he felt the lady's face, and he could tell that she was warm once again. He could tell that life had come back into her body, and he put her back into the stagecoach and took her back to the destination. She may not have realized it, but that man saved her life. And sometimes you and I as Christians, we trudge through the snow, and it seems like life is getting by us, and we cry out, "Why, God? Why would you let this happen to me?" And all the time, God has our best interest at his mind. All of the time, he's trying to keep us alive spiritually. All the time, he's trying to help us to maintain a sensitivity towards him. You see, the Bible predicts the trial, first of all. Secondly, the Bible tells us that every trial has a purpose for our lives. And then thirdly, the Bible has many promises for us as we go through the trial. Let me share some with you. First of all, here in 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 7, the Bible gives us a promise for those who were suffering and those who were going through a trial. Peter said, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Isn't that a great promise?
You've been listening to Daily in the Word, and this has been Dr. Paul Chappell teaching and preaching in a series entitled Abundant Christian Living, learning and discovering from Christ how to have the abundant life that he promised, even in the midst of difficult times. We hope today's message has been an encouragement to you, and we hope you'll tune in next time as we listen to part 2 of this message. If you'd like to hear this entire series, Abundant Christian Living, you can find it and more at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find links to recent broadcasts. You'll find our list of stations across the country, over 450 radio stations where you can now hear Daily in the Word, or you can subscribe every day to the Daily Podcast and download Daily in the Word automatically to your computer or iPod or portable music player. It's very simple. It's free of charge, and you'd always have the latest editions of Daily in the Word with you on your computer or on your portable music player. All of this and much, much more is to be found at dailyintheword.org. I do want to mention we have a special gift for you when you call or write to us or contact us this month. It's a little booklet entitled Leaders Who Make a Difference, written by Dr. Chappell, and it explores the subject of how we can make a difference, making your attitude your greatest asset. This encouraging book for spiritual leaders explores the lives of three great Bible leaders and how they made an eternal difference. Your heart will be challenged by the vision of Joshua, the passion of Nehemiah, and the faith of Joseph. That's entitled Leaders Who Make a Difference, and it's yours, our gift to you, our way of saying thank you for listening when you take time to contact us this month. The easiest way to contact us is to visit us at Daily in the Word and fill out the email information and send us a note letting us know that our program is touching your life. Again, that's at dailyintheword.org. The second easiest way is probably to call toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. We would also love to receive a postcard or a letter from you, and that address is simply Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. We sure hope to hear from you and to be able to send you this gift, Leaders Who Make a Difference. You'll enjoy the book. It would make a great gift for a friend. For more information about West Coast Baptist College, visit us online at westcoastbaptist.edu. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.